The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Hour number three of The Drive underway. Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. Russell Barrett, Brandon back with you. Happy Valentine's Day to you and yours. Just think, people all over the city, all over the state, all over the world, and our listening audience right now, freshening up a bit, getting set to go out on a date with that special someone, trying to make a little romance on a Thursday, Valentine's Day. We're bringing the romance. You can feel the love. You can feel the love here on Fan Run Radio, emanating from the transmitter, emanating from the live stream. You can feel it.
I mean, nothing says love like The Drive.
Absolutely. Let's bring in Aaron Torres to the festivities this afternoon. Aaron, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Russ. You know, on a day like today, Valentine's Day, it never makes me forget the time that I came onto Fox Sports Knoxville and you were talking about sex robots. I'll never forget that. Man,
I mean,
been through a lot together, Aaron.
So romantic. I mean, yeah, it's interesting. You know, special day, obviously. Scrolling through your Twitter feed here, Aaron, and
yeah, you like that?
Well, I feel like your gift card thing is interesting because I don't feel like there's any. So there are people who object to using a gift card, a restaurant gift card on Valentine's Day. I mean, I feel like that's the perfect time to use a restaurant gift card.
Well, okay. So
I kind of feel like that's what they're there for.
Yeah. So to backtrack here, you know, first of all, I'd say I'm engaged, soon to be married. This isn't like a third date and we're going to Buffalo Wild Wings here. Like, you know, we've been together a long time. You know, I bought a gift card out of the goodness of my heart. That's the kind of guy that I am, Russ.
Yeah.
And yeah, and so I bought the gift card thinking, oh, cool, it'll be a cute little date night, this and that. Yeah. We're both busy. We do stuff, you know, we haven't had time to go. And, you know, like I said, you know, when you buy a gift card, it's kind of for them, but it's kind of for you too. Like, what is she going to do? Go to Fleming's by herself and eat a 32-ounce ribeye? Like, you know, like you know, it's part of the thing. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And to backtrack for people who have no idea what we're talking about, I bought my fiance a gift card to a steakhouse. And I was just debating if it was wrong to bring her to said steakhouse and have her help pay the bill with the gift card. And overwhelmingly, more than I've expected, people are on my side that it's not even really a debate. And it seems like you're very much in the same camp.
I mean, you bought the gift card. You give it to her. So, I mean what am I missing
correct
here? You're still paying for the meal.
I agree. And yes, like, I think the thing that a lot of people are missing too is a restaurant gift card is, like, it's intended in this case as like a group activity, right? Like, it isn't a Victoria's Secret gift card where I'm like, hey, go out with the girls, have fun, you know, do whatever it is you do in Victoria's Secret. Like, this is like, hey, this is something we can both enjoy together. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't feel like it's that big of a deal. I think the response has been a lot in my favor. It's 2019. You know, this is how we do things. And yeah, like you said, I'm still ultimately paying for it. It's just, you know, with a different form of plastic, you know?
He is a modern man and a hopeless romantic, Aaron Torres,
yes,
joining us on the show.
Chivalry
this afternoon
is not dead. That's right, Russ.
Oh, no. Not when you throw down that gift card at the Olive Garden as soon as those Andy's mints come and you're like, oh, yeah, honey, don't worry about it. I got this.
Exactly.
Aaron, exactly. We had a big game this weekend. I don't know if you've heard. Tennessee at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Maybe lose a little bit of the luster after Kentucky drops one at home this week to LSU, but still a big game. I can tell you Tennessee fans are looking forward to it. Just your thoughts on looking at Tennessee and the Wildcats.
Yeah, to me, I know that the common sense thing would be, hey, we've lost some luster, Kentucky lost. But look, it was at the buzzer. It was in a game that they controlled, and it's a team against LSU that is very much in the SEC title conversation. And so this isn't losing to Georgia, you know, Tom Crean, Mr. Excuse Maker over there. Like, it's not, you know, it's not, what's that?
Off the top rope on Tom Crean. Didn't see that coming, but okay.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him throwing his players under the bus, but that's neither here nor there. It's not like just like a random just bad game. They played another good team. They lost by one. It doesn't feel like the kind of thing that, if it's not like one of those things where if Kentucky played LSU 10 times, they lose 10 times. It was just the wrong game on the wrong night. And so, look, I think it's very much... I think it's going to be a great game. I really do. I'm curious to see Tennessee, frankly, just against one of the better teams in the SEC. I mean, you know, we all know that Tennessee's schedule has been front-loaded with kind of some of the easier teams in the conference. It's going to get a lot tougher from here on out. But I'm curious to see basically every element of this game, how Kentucky responds, how Tennessee potentially handles adversity against the best team that they've played since Gonzaga about 2 months ago now. There's so many layers to it, and I really do believe that both these teams are playing really well, and I think that it's going to live up to hype. I think it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, to me, the question is, you know, what kind of mindset does Kentucky come out with? Because I think that we know from watching Tennessee that it's just a steady group, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low.
Yep.
It's just like a machine. Kentucky, much younger, not as mature, though very talented. Are they going to do what they did after they got beat by Duke, which is essentially go into a shell for a month and then slowly build themselves back up? Or are they going to come out fighting like a cornered animal? I think that'll kind of be the, you know, if it's the former, I don't see any way they win. But if it's the latter, if they come out with a chip on their shoulder, maybe a little angry, I think we got ourselves a heck of a game.
I agree 100%. I'm fascinated to see Kentucky from that perspective as well. And I think since that Duke game, and really, you know, they were kind of off the grid for about a month. They didn't really play any marquee games after that Duke game. And I do think that since really the start of conference play, and they got a couple of nice wins right before SEC play, I do think they've kind of grown like a tougher shell around them. Like, I do think they're a tougher team. They were down, I think, 11 points at Florida. It was actually, you know, if you watch the game, it was very similar to when Tennessee played Florida in that the final score wasn't reflective of the fact that it was actually a very competitive game. But they came back down from 11 in the second half and won. Mississippi State, kind of the opposite. They had a big lead. Mississippi State made a run and Kentucky held on. And so I think they're mentally tougher. But I will say this, I think Mississippi State's like 5-6 in the SEC right now. Auburn has not lived up to expectations. And so I do think that Kentucky is more battle tested. I don't think they've seen anybody quite like Tennessee. Tennessee's different than LSU. I know they just played LSU, but they're a different kind of team. But to me, that's the big thing. But I'd also say this, Russ. This is also what I'm interested in. If Tennessee just bulldozes Kentucky, and I don't think most of us do, but like, what does the conversation about Tennessee become then? Because it's been so, you know, well, let's wait and see. They haven't played good teams. And I think everyone is so focused on Duke and everything that they do. But if Tennessee comes out and passes this test on the road, I think you absolutely have to look at Tennessee as Duke's equal, considering that Duke beat Gonzaga. Of course, Gonzaga beat Duke, and there's, you know, a little... you know, thing going on there with the three of those teams. But that is also what I'm interested in. What if Tennessee does make that statement? What if they do win big? And I'm not saying they will, but that would be a fascinating kind of conversation to come into Monday morning of like, okay, we got our two real, real, real heavyweights here with Duke and Tennessee. I think most people have seen Duke. I think a lot of people still are waiting on Tennessee. I just think there's so many fascinating things going into this game, but then also coming out of it as well.
That's interesting. So you think, and again, we're so myopic here in Knoxville, following, living and dying with every bounce of the ball at this team. But you're out there in LA from the 30,000-foot view. You think that there are a lot of people around the country, college basketball enthusiasts, that still haven't seen Tennessee.
Well, I think what it is America as a general thing, and I get it, by the way, is so enthralled with Zion Williamson, and Duke is always a name brand. And so I think like Tennessee is just, you know, they're just beating up on Arkansas and Missouri and, you know, but like, you know, I've even seen some of the kind of some of the other writers out there say, well, you know, I haven't moved Tennessee from number one because they haven't lost, but you know, like if they were playing on a neutral floor, I'd take Duke, or Tennessee's resume doesn't match up to Duke's because blah, 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 blah. And so I don't want to say people are like sleeping on Tennessee, like, or that they haven't been paying attention, but I don't know if it's because they don't have that big kind of glitzy star like Zion Williamson. And listen, anyone who loves college basketball loves Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, but you know, he's not Zion. Nobody in college basketball is, you know, they're not a name brand basketball school. It just feels like everybody outside of Duke and everybody outside of Duke's orbit. So like, yeah, we'll talk about Virginia for a few days when they're getting ready to play Duke. But I feel like even Kentucky, we're not talking about them as much as we usually do. Tennessee, I don't feel like we have. Gonzaga is completely forgotten. And it's insane to me, Russ, by the way, not to go on a Gonzaga rant in Knoxville because nobody cares, but like Gonzaga beat Duke and was within, you know, a play or two of beating Tennessee. And we're right back to that whole thing of, well, I mean, who does Gonzaga really play? And it's like, no, they're really, really, really good. So I do think it's just maybe more of a Duke thing where Duke is just so kind of so big, like they're bigger than the sport itself right now. And I think whoever comes out of that game, I think we're really going to be talking about it in a different way, whether it is Tennessee getting a convincing win or whether Kentucky gets that win. I think it just sets up for a good conversation for either team coming out of Monday.
Hey, Aaron, funny you mentioned Gonzaga. What's the latest on the kid? I cannot remember his name. That has
Killian Tilly?
The partially torn fascia?
Yeah, he's one of their big guys. He didn't play against Tennessee. And he's, you know, and this is kind of like the Gonzaga story. They have, if that kid's healthy, they have three guys that are probably going to be first-round NBA draft picks this year. And, like, I don't care if it's Gonzaga or Duke or Tennessee or Ole Miss or whoever. Like, if you have three first-round picks, you're going to be a tough out no matter who you play. And so he went down. He had a foot injury to start the year when they played Duke, when they played Tennessee. And since then, kind of a similar foot injury. I don't know if it's the exact same thing, but he's out indefinitely. And I will say, like, you want to be at full strength, obviously. But I will say that I think that Gonzaga learned to play without that kid. And so I've said this for weeks. I really believe it. I think that right now there's four teams that are cut above everybody else: Tennessee, Gonzaga, Duke, and Kentucky. Listen, I'm willing to bump Kentucky off that top line if they lose at home this weekend or get embarrassed or whatever the case may be. But I do think those teams are cut above the rest. And I do think even with Gonzaga losing this guy, I mean, Tennessee has seen them with the team that they have right now. And I think everyone in Knoxville would agree Gonzaga is a darn good team.
Aaron Torres with us here this afternoon on The Drive. Aaron has a podcast out where, see, you're talking to Sean Farham from ESPN, your latest podcast, says he's got a good Rick Barnes story. Aaron, can you share that with the Knoxville audience, or do we have to subscribe to download the podcast?
All right, Russ. So it's Truth Telling Thursday here on The Drive on Knoxville. So I recorded with Sean like maybe Monday.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was he was in a car on his way to Bristol where ESPN is, and he had a huge window. There was bad weather, and he was just sitting in a car, and he had nothing to do but talk hoops with me. So we talked for probably like 45 minutes, and I would say a solid 15 to 20 was about Tennessee because he's called a couple Tennessee games this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Truth-Telling Thursday. I don't remember exactly what the story was, but okay. I remember it being awesome. I remember it being a really good Rick Barnes story. I think now that I'm thinking about it, I actually remember. I think what it really is about is how he kind of runs the program behind the scenes. He puts a lot on his players. He puts a lot on his assistant coaches. You know, he's not a guy that, and we see it with this Tennessee roster, and like I think it's obvious at this point, but not the highest rated group recruiting-wise, but really well-developed. And I think what it was, now that I'm thinking about it, I do remember, it was about how Rick Barnes kind of evaluates assistant coaches, how he brings in players, how it all comes together once they get on campus, because as we know, it's a narrative that's been beaten to death at this point. But obviously, like I said, these Tennessee guys weren't the highest rated recruits coming out of high school. And it does speak to the developmental skills of the coaching staff, but then also the work ethic of the players themselves. And so Sean, I think, took us a little bit behind the scenes of how all that comes together.
All right. Very good. You have to go check out the podcast for that. So not a big Tom Crean guy, are you, Aaron?
You know, I've never been a Tom Crean guy, Russ. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that you and I get along so well is because we tell it like it is, whether people's feelings are going to be hurt or not. And I think the Tom Crean hire was Tom Crean just totally manipulating everyone at ESPN last year when the coaching carousel came out. And so if you follow this guy at Indiana, now he inherited a tough situation, but once he got it rolling, there was ups and downs, peaks and valleys, ebbs and flows. And yet when he was on the coaching, you know, when he was fired at Indiana and available last year, you would have thought that John Wooden had been reincarnated the way that people were talking about this guy in the coaching carousel conversations, right? Like, I just remember turning on games and it's like, there's only one man for this job and it's Tom Crean. And I was like, really? The guy that just went like 16 and 14 last year at Indiana, that's the only guy for this job? And so if you really follow Tom Crean's career,
yeah,
he's been a guy that there's always an excuse. It's never his fault. You know, when things are, and so I always felt like from the beginning, Georgia was trying to hire the big name, the guy to win the press conference with, you know, because he's coming into a league now with Rick Barnes and Frank Martin and Avery Johnson and Bruce Pearl and John Calipari, and they didn't try to go get the best guy. And then Saturday just reiterated it for me. I'm sure you guys have maybe at least touched on it on the show, but really had some comments about the players that he inherited, how, you know, he said it, but he didn't say it like, it's not really my fault that we're so bad. The players that I inherited sucked. And, like, he didn't really say that, but he basically said it. And it was just such a bad look. And it just reiterated to me that this guy, like, I just don't think he gets it. I think he's about himself. And I think that Georgia was more concerned with winning a press conference rather than getting the best possible coach for that job.
You know what? This just hit me listening to you talk here. And how's this for a hot take? It's very appropriate that he has surfaced at Georgia. Because Georgia had a football coach in the 1980s, 90s by the name of Vince Dooley, Derek's dad, who did absolutely nothing there except for one year. 1 year. He had Herschel Walker, maybe the greatest college football of all time, fall into his lap, and he rode that for the next 20 years. And they think he's a legend down there. Tom Crean, who's now at Georgia, he is riding that D-Wade wave. What, 20 years now? And he's still...
Unbelievable.
More power to him. I did find it interesting that he goes on that rant, and everybody's like, that's a terrible look. Like, why would you do that? And then 2 days later, he gets the number two player in the country, commits to them.
Yeah, but two things on that real quick. One is that, you know, the kid had decided. I mean, he was canceling official visits, and I mean, he decided... And two, I'll say this, Russ, and like, I'm not trying to be, you know, I've written a book on Kentucky. I'm not trying to be Kentucky Homer guy, but I've talked to these kids. I've seen the Ben Simmons at LSU, the Dennis Smith Jr. at NC State narrative. All these kids think, oh, you know, everything's going to revolve around me and I'm going to be the guy that gets this program back on top. And it's just not going to happen. I mean, he chose Georgia over Kentucky, and I'm never telling a kid don't go where it's best for you. But you go to Kentucky, you don't even have to be that good. You're going to be a top five pick. You go to Duke, you don't even have to be that good. You're going to be a top five pick. I know that this kid committed to Georgia, but like I said, I think he made up his decision a long time before those comments. But I also don't think that he is going to be the one exception to the rule that we've seen over the last like 10 years where, oh, Ben Simmons couldn't even get his team to the NCAA tournament. You know, Dennis Smith couldn't get his team to the NCAA tournament. But this guy, led by Tom Crean, is going to take Georgia basketball to heights never before seen. I don't really buy it. But again, hey, shout out to Tom Crean because he did get the kid. But it still was a really bad look, though.
No doubt about it. All right, Aaron, we appreciate your time as always, my man. Where is Valentine's Day dinner tonight, if you don't mind me prying in your personal life?
Yeah, no, it's a Fleming's gift card. It's a Fleming's Steakhouse. It's about a half a mile.
Damn.
Yeah, it's like a half a mile from where we live. And, you know, every once in a while we'll bop over there for happy hour or something. But, you know, it's so easy to get to. I said, let me just get the gift card. So I didn't use names because I didn't know if there was any sponsors on the show that would be offended. But, yeah, it's Fleming's. It's a nice spot, right? That's a cool spot.
A cool spot. I mean, you're balling tonight, Aaron.
Well, listen,
look at you, man. $50 filet and all that stuff. Yeah, it's good times.
Yeah, it's listen. I'm saying if we Classic. Order the nicest stuff on the menu, the whole gift card isn't, you know, the gift card's not going to cover the whole thing. But you know, it's like I said, it's an upper class joint for an upper class gal. I'm a gentleman. Chivalry not dead.
That's good. Listen, sweetheart. No steaks tonight. Get a burger, please.
Exactly. Yeah, you want a martini? Get two. You just have to have bread with it. It's fine. No big deal.
Yeah, go ahead and fill up on the bread and salad. All right, Aaron. Appreciate it, my man. Have a great afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Russ. Have a good day.
Aaron Torres. You follow him on Twitter, at Aaron Torres. Check him out there. I believe that is correct. There might be an underscore there. I'm going to look it up really quickly so that we give him the proper plug this afternoon on the show. Yeah. Underscore Torres. Got to get that underscore. He goes the single. I go with the triple. To each his own, you know? I would have gone with the single if it were available.
I think he's probably taking your spot as Captain Romance.
Think so?
He's taking his old lady to Fleming's. Yeah.
Yep.
Are people giving Aaron, our guy Aaron, crap because he bought her the gift card and he's taking her out to dinner at the same restaurant?
I see, but she's got probably a gigantic ring
on her finger.
But the thing is, you're using the gift card on yourself, right? I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm on Aaron. If he's still on hold, I'm on his side.
I've been to Fleming's, and if you're going there and you're taking your lady friend there for full dinner, it's going to be that $50 gift card will put a dent in.
$50 gift card? Yeah, they ain't going
to
do much.
No,
man.
I mean, Aaron's getting ready to have to crack open the wallet tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going – two people at Fleming's.
Aaron Torres, classy guy.
And, you know, you go to Fleming, you're going to get a couple of steaks. Are we going appetizer? Because those don't come cheap. What is an appetizer at Fleming's these days? $12, $15.
Oh, yeah, you're looking easy.
And then you want to get dessert, another $12 or $15.
Yeah.
A little creme brulee, maybe some,
two steak dinners with sides and everything. You're probably looking at close to 100.
How many sides are we getting? Are we going to get a baked potato? Are we going to get some asparagus to share? You know, what?
No, you ain't sharing on Valentine's Day.
I thought that's how they do it, though. Like they give you like a table dish, basically, and you can kind of split it up.
Share.
I don't know.
Is that more romantic to share your food?
Listen, man, I won't pretend to fly in these rarefied circles.
I don't really share food. Never have been good at sharing food. Until I have my kid.
Yeah, but
like friends and family are amazed. Yeah, but when you touch the food on my plate.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about on your plate though. Like they bring it out on a dish and put it in there, and you take some. You start doing that math and like, wait a minute. There were 16 spears of asparagus. You've already had 9. That's over 50%. What are you doing?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
You're throwing off the math here. When you share a dessert, is it like...
You don't share desserts. You don't.
You never share a dessert?
No. Share desserts with my kid. He's the only
My wife gets
on the
mad.
Planet.
She's
I
like,
love
wait a
enough
minute.
To
you're,
share.
You're eating too fast. You're eating too much. Like, I eat fast. What can I say? I'm not going
to
take
You're a known jackal when
not,
it comes
I'm
to food with
I'm
your
not
family.
I'm not
going
to take a bite of this delicious piece of pie and
like
then wait for
Brandon.
You
Turn
to take a bite.
On.
Like, it's delicious. I could eat 3 or 4 huge bites of pie by the time you've had one.
When he goes up to see Mark Rickard at Rickard Ridge Barbecue, he orders his children's food with the intention of eating most of it within the next 24 hours.
The impression of Mrs. I feel like that was a little shrill.
Oh, it probably wasn't a good look on Valentine's Day,
no.
was it?
No, it really wasn't. She's a sweetheart, and we all appreciate her for putting up with you. Be quite honest.
Captain Romance might need to go back to school.
Captain Romance might want to stop somewhere other than the Wendy's drive-thru tonight this year.
Take a quick break. The spicy chicken deluxe ain't going to eat itself. Stay with us. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com. Mm-hmm. true. It's true. Timeless love songs setting the mood this afternoon on The Drive. You're welcome.
Little Spandau Ballet.
You're welcome. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show here with us this afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Jason says the Fleming Cheese app at Fleming's is amazing. What is that? Are they one of those? What do they call that? A flambé or something? Where you
flambé?
You it sets it on fire or something.
It's one of those flambé things, Bear. I may not stop at Wendy's on the way home. Might take the old lady out there. Get some of that flambé.
They don't have flambé at Wendy's, okay, you dullard?
Do they have flambé anywhere?
They have frosté, chocolate, or vanilla. I like to switch it up.
Or the swirl. They have the swirl?
No.
Hey, have you guys taken my advice?
Wendy's has a swirl? Can you?
Have you guys tried to ask them for just the cold, frosty liquid before it becomes a frosty?
What?
Chocolate milk?
It's better than chocolate milk, my friend.
Just like the cold liquid?
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so good.
Grant your request.
Yeah. I could drink a half a gallon of that stuff.
Can I have one of those burgers raw? Don't even cook it. Just give it to me.
It's not the same thing.
Can I have a frosty that's been sitting out for about 10 minutes?
Okay, you realize
I actually like that. That's good.
They
that's
have
good.
Containers.
I like it when it melts a little.
And they pour the liquid into the frosty machine, and then it freezes it in ice cream.
Do you dip your fries in the frosty?
That's abhorrent.
I don't think it's abhorrent. It's just a little overrated.
I think it's just bizarre. I put it up
okay.
there with,
it's pretty nice.
With idiots that dip their French fries in mayonnaise.
Oh,
You ever seen a mayonnaise French fry dipper?
Oh, yeah.
It's disgusting.
My father-in-law does it. He's Dutch.
Now you make me feel bad.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, he's Dutch. What they do. They use mayonnaise
he's
instead
a nice
of
guy.
Ketchup. Yeah, and you just called him a horrible person.
I mean, Mrs. Dubs, part of Bear's base.
Insulting my family.
The 30% nice. That are always with me.
That's good.
Always.
That's good. That's
no
what
matter
you want.
What I do,
that's
always
what
in
you
my
want
corner.
To see. Feel a little bad now?
No. You know what I'm thinking about?
What?
I am thinking about the fact that Kentucky and LSU both, they'll bend the knee just like Jon Snow and Tyrion, Russ.
What are you talking about?
You heard me. They're going to bend the knee.
Are you trying to talk Game of Thrones right now?
Maybe.
Would you guys stop watching TV? We're trying to do a radio show.
It's a black timberwolf getting ready to take on a bear, dude. Ooh, it bit its butt.
That's what goes out to the ladies here on Valentine's Day. It's actually a really good song.
Is this Milli Vanilli?
Bet your ass it is, my friend. Oh, yeah. This is the one that froze up on them when they were on stage. The tape started looping. Girl, you know. They ran off stage.
Crying.
You ever see that behind the music from Milli Vanilli?
Yeah,
oh, it's
sad.
Great. It's great. One of them died, right? Did I just kill somebody from Milli Vanilli unnecessarily?
No, one of them, I can't remember which one. Rob died.
Rob?
Acute cocaine intoxication.
Oh. I'm in love, girl. So in love, girl.
Do you imagine Russ wearing one of those outfits like those guys wore?
I'm not familiar with
We're
the
like
attire.
Suit jackets and what, like... black leggings and platform shoes when I remember the video.
Buckeye guy. Get in here, Buckeye guy.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Getting ready for love, you know what I mean.
Yeah, man. Hey, first off, love the segment on Fleming's, for one. And you mentioned the size. Yeah, at Roots Chris, they do the size like all out in one big, you know, plate. At Fleming's, I think they include the size actually with it. If I'm not mistaken. But and then you'll mention the gift card. I'll mention a story that I want to get to Tennessee basketball just real quick. I took my wife there for her birthday, and I went there and I requested a table with a bottle of wine and some rose petals on the table. Well, when I got there, that table was taken, and they set us at a different table and didn't have a bottle of wine there. And I went and told the manager, they ended up comping our whole entire meal, $240.
Whoa!
I couldn't believe it. He said, yeah, we're going to get this for you. I thought he meant the wine. I was like, oh, that's really nice, you know? And they're like, no, we're getting the whole thing.
So now every time you go, you tell the waiter, you're like, hey, I thought I had wine and flowers here.
Yeah, exactly. Next time you all go, I'm serious, do this. Try to reserve a table and hope to goodness that it is taken whenever you get there and go tell the manager.
You will get a
free meal.
All right, man. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
But going to basketball, hey,
scam.
This weekend against Kentucky, I have Tennessee winning by 7 at UK.
Okay.
LSU, what y'all think about that?
What, Tennessee at LSU?
No, Tennessee at UK by 7.
Oh. I've seen some people, you know, and I don't know where these ultra early lines come from, but I thought the early lines were like a 4-point underdog. Now that was before they lost to LSU.
Yeah.
I 7 points, that seems like the line ain't going to be Tennessee by 7. I'll tell you that right now. The line's going to be really close. I think it'll be, you know, 1 or 2 points either way.
I agree with that as far as the line goes. I strongly and firmly believe that Tennessee will win by 5, 6, 7 points. I'm saying 7 is what I think they will win by. I think the line will be lower. I think they'll win by that much. Reason being, and I don't know if y'all got how much of the LSU-Kentucky game you all had to watch or Kentucky in general this year. And I think Rick Barnes is smart enough for this. Kentucky 100% runs through P.J. Washington. And quite frankly, our matchup with P.J. Washington is pretty dang good. You have, you got Grant Williams far. Yeah. I think so. I mean, wouldn't you think so? You put Alexander on
Travis? Do you want to put our best offensive weapon on their best offensive weapon? Like, who's going to get the fouls, you know? So there'll be some fouls called there. And we don't want Grant getting in foul trouble early. So, you know, I mean, Grant might be our best offensive weapon, but I'll tell you right now, Kyle Alexander's our best defensive weapon.
Yeah.
Do you put him on Washington?
I think you almost would. He has the length, and then you also have Grant Williams that has the size to guard Reed Travis.
Yeah.
But with Reed Travis, he is going to go in there and he's going to bang much more than P.J. Washington is. So it's almost like
Let's bring it on. You want to bang with Tennessee? Okay, Reed Travis. This ain't Stanford anymore, man. You ain't playing in the Pac-12. You're playing against number one ranked Tennessee. I'm not worried about it, man. Like he's a nice player. Grant Williams is better.
I agree, but again, I think that they'll have it figured out where, you know, Barnes is smart enough, hey, let's go in and shut down P.J. Washington, and we should be able to come away. Because let's be honest, the guard play, I don't really think it's that comparable. Tyler Herro's not playing up to par for his first year. I mean, he is a freshman, granted, but still, they can't match Tennessee guard play. So yeah, P.J. Washington shutdown is the key to the game, in my opinion. I think Tennessee wins by 7. Thanks, guys.
All right, man, appreciate it. Thank you, Buckeye Guy. Buckeye Guy, thanks. He's got the Vols. Ohio State fan. Bill in Tennessee on the road.
The hell is this?
What?
My life is brilliant.
What is Valentine's Day, dude. Just listen to some tunes, man. Trying to get in the mood.
Is this you? All right.
Is this me?
My life is brilliant.
Who the hell is this?
You don't remember this song?
No.
It's a huge hit like 10 years ago.
I've heard that. What is it?
Nice, Brady. I see what you're doing.
I'll know it once the chorus starts, but I cannot think of the name of it.
I see what you're doing.
Is it Justin Bieber?
You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
What's her name?
You guys would suck at.
Name that tune. I would destroy your ass and name that tune.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
bring destroy, him to the drive.
You destroy me. You don't need like the biggest hit of 2010. James Blunt's You're Beautiful.
Well, turn it off. I'll play you one. Let's see if you can get it in two notes. That's horrible.
I mean, that's horrible.
That's horrible. Is that one
of the defining love songs of this generation.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Ah.
My life is brilliant.
You're beautiful.
That was pretty good.
Wasn't as good as that one I tried to get you to play earlier.
It's pretty good. What do you think, Raj? I thought that was a good song. I mean, granted, Roger, it's not the Village People, but
yeah, that's good. He done a good job. Your voice was good.
I'm spinning the hits. We're getting some traffic coming up on the nines here on Fan Run Radio.
Yeah,
all
right.
You ready, Raj?
Yeah. YMCA. I just want to tell you, I have Valentine to y'all. To y'all.
Happy Thank Valentine's you, Day to you, Raj.
Feel the love.
Thanks, Aaron. Russ, I just want to ask you, tomorrow, I just want to ask you, are you going to do your show tomorrow?
We're in studio tomorrow. We will be at Corner 16 on Tuesday. Next week. Tuesday. Be there.
Okay.
You're breaking down the...
I'm going to try to show y'all. I haven't seen y'all in a while. I just want to come by and see y'all sometime soon.
Would love to see you.
Asking that for.
Would love to see you, Raj.
Yeah, I miss seeing y'all. I miss seeing you. So hopefully
see y'all. Tugging at the heartstrings here on Valentine's Day, Roger.
Bear's getting in his emotions right now.
Okay. I got you. So the game Saturday, I can presume about it. So how y'all see it's gonna be a big game, 1 versus 5. You think it's gonna be for the game wise. What the key you think it's gonna be? Some of the keys you think it's gonna be. You think for the game wise?
I think Buckeye guy said the guard play. Like our veteran guards have got to be better than their young guards. I mean. We've got Bone, Turner, Bowden. Like, those guys are all in their, I think they're all in their third year. Turner's in his fourth year. Like, they have to be – we have to win the backcourt. Like, we just have to, man. We have to be the better guards. Stay out of foul trouble. Down low, I would say that is a big key for Tennessee. And, I think that – you've just got a rebound, probably another one. You know, we've been getting some boards lately, did a little bit better last night, but Kentucky's a good rebounding team. Those would be my three keys. Guard play, rebounding, keep out of foul trouble.
Okay. Bear, for you, that's why I asked you about the game. How big this game, is it a big game? But are you excited about it, Bear?
The biggest game in Tennessee basketball history.
I think it's one of them. Yes, I put it up there with the 1 versus 2 in 2008. The games where Ernie and Bernie went up there. You know, the 3 years that the 70s team didn't lose to Kentucky. Yeah,
go ahead.
Just a huge game. Right. Sing it with me, Raj.
Yeah, I can't wait for the game. You know, it's Saturday.
Oh, I can't either. Game. I cannot either.
Big game.
You know what you need to do after, Raj? You need to tune in a voluntary reaction, my friend, after the game with me and Russ and Brandon.
Oh man.
Okay.
Oh man, that's gonna be.
I try to.
That's gonna be. Thanks, Raj. Have yourself a wonderful evening, my friend.
Hopefully, it's gonna be a hootenanny in here.
I hope so.
It's I want to be. I want to be playing.
It's either going to be like we're either going to be strutting. You're going to be doing the. You're going to be milking the cow, and I'll be strutting around the Fan Run Studios, or you're going to be just screaming, lashing out wildly in all directions, and I'm going to be in the corner. Just
I feel like I'm going to be calm and reserved member of the crew.
If we lose, we're going to be pissed. We will burn this place down if we lose Saturday.
But if we win, Russ,
it'll be a party. It'll be a party. All right.
Party like it's 1999.
Stay. If we win, what, Barry? You just kind of stopped.
You kind of trailed off there, buddy. Oh!
Milk, milk, get the cow. Cow, 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 milk.
Stay with us. Stay with us. Do you have this on your iPod?
On my iPhone.
That's his iPhone. This is his iPod. He paid for this. He paid for this.
I have Apple Music,
he
dumbass.
He paid for this.
I have Apple Music.
Apple Music ain't free. You paid for that.
Yeah, I can get any song I want. And I like
the
this
shocking
one.
Conclusion of The Drive coming up.
The Drive.
Jets people.
The Docket. Brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for disability benefits? Call DHE today at 865-566-0800 or visit DHE-US.com.
All right, wrapping up the show here with The Docket, brought to you by DAG. Two men impersonating police officers tried to pull over a South Florida commissioner who himself is a former officer, and now they are in custody. Miami-Dade Commissioner Joe Martinez grew suspicious Wednesday when he saw the sports utility vehicle with flashing lights that came up behind him on the Florida Turnpike. Martinez says the vehicle was too spiffy to be a police vehicle, and he noticed a temporary tag. Martinez refused to pull over, was able to flag down an officer in a squad car who was on the roadside. The officer radioed for help. Miami Herald reports that men were taken into custody. Agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, who deal with police impersonators, were on the way to interview suspects.
I didn't know the ATF was who investigated that particular crime.
What do you think they're going to do, just rob him?
Probably. That's why, male or female, if you're not sure at all about that, I mean, I'm totally serious. We screw around here on The Drive all the time. But especially if you are a female and it's at night, you are to turn on your hazard flashers and you drive slowly and carefully to a well-lit, populated place before you stop. Might make the cops mad, but, you know, if there aren't cops... bad stuff. People do that.
They charge you with evading authorities if you do. I mean, I see what you're saying, but it seems like
I guarantee you 99.9% of cops, especially if it's a female, are not going to flip out. Yeah, if they're in an unmarked, and it's just, you know.
Meanwhile, how are you enjoying those Cheez-Its, Rick?
It's really nice of Carson to remember his buddies on The Drive.
A man in Georgia set his mother's home on fire early Tuesday.
Damn, mama's house.
Over a box of Cheez-Its. Police say two brothers and their 61-year-old mother were at the home in Lithonia, home of former Vol Tad Golden, when an argument broke out over a box of Cheez-It crackers. One of the brothers, who police say was intoxicated, locked his brother and mother inside the home and began pouring gasoline on the front steps. He then lit the home on fire, trapping the two inside. The brother, who was trapped inside, was able to lift his mother down from the second-story window and then get himself out safely. The man who allegedly started the fire, 32-year-old Jeremy Wyatt. Wait a minute.
Except from the wonderful whites of West Virginia.
Jeremy? Man, he's arrested. DeKalb Police Department charged with first-degree arson and criminal damage to property in the second degree. All the cheese. You won't give me them Cheez-Its, I'll burn this house down. You won't give me them Cheez-Its, woman.
Mama,
I done told you, woman. You better put them Cheez-Its out on the porch. I got this gasoline. I'll burn this place to the dirt. I'll burn it down.
How you gonna set your mama's house on fire?
Cheez-Its, man. When you're hungry, you're hungry.
Wow.
Not only on fire, But your mother and brother are inside.
I mean, my little brother's a complete idiot.
Jeremy was hungry.
But I'd never do anything like that. I mean, just the biggest boob you've ever met in your life. Just a goofball.
Disability Advantage Group. Check them out online at, on Facebook. First of all, facebook.com/Disability Advantage Group. They do a great job helping you process your Social Security disability benefits claims. DAG-US.com is their main website. Their phone number is 865-566-0800 for a little Disability Advantage Group. And, boy, we love them, too. We love all our sponsors. We love all our sponsors here on The Drive, and particularly on Valentine's Day, Bear.
What's that, Russ?
Love our sponsors. The love seal. Is real.
Is this your favorite Seal song?
It's the only Seal song I know.
Really?
We had to play this after you made us watch that video of those polar bears killing that seal.
It was
a walrus.
It was a walrus.
Whatever.
Well, that thing just rolled up in there like it was going to the Pizza Hut buffet.
Shout out to Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Appreciate their sponsorship of the show.
Ever.
Be at Corner 16 on Tuesday. It's a good song. You ever heard this one, Brandon?
No.
Really?
Really?
Oh, no. It was a big hit in mid-90s.
Huge hit. That guy's
Batman movie with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Remember that one? Was that the one with Jim Carrey as the Riddler? It was an awful movie.
Yeah,
just awful.
It's horrible. The soundtrack is pretty good. His first record's really good. You've never listened to it?
No.
Huh. You've got an absolutely atrocious taste.
Guy was like what was he? He had like some like crazy scarring on his face.
He was abused as a child.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's what the real deal was.
Had all this crazy scarring on his face and
he's
ended
from a
up
culture,
marrying Heidi Klum.
One of the most beautiful women in the world. I'll show you. Sing good. You can get the ladies. But yeah, it was some kind of like weird, like whatever country he's from in Africa. It was like a cultural thing. But yeah, they scarred
him. I feel bad.
Like, I guess when you go through puberty, it's like the rite of manhood where you get scarred. You really get into your feels over there.
Rick Butler, thank you for your hard work. Brandon, how's the podcast coming?
I'm not doing the podcast, Russell. You know this. You're just trying to get people to blame me.
There's been a trade floated.
I saw your tweet yesterday.
There's been a trade floated, Russ.
Podcast will be up momentarily. Overtime coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow here on The Drive.
The Drive.